AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York, where later today, former President Trump will become the first former president to face criminal charges. CBS's Robert Costa says he's set to arrive at Manhattan Criminal Court just before noon.
He will be fingerprinted and may stand for a mugshot, but he will not be handcuffed. At the 2:15 arraignment, the judge is expected to outline the charges against Trump and ask for him to enter a plea.
District Attorney Alvin Bragg's decision to indict stunned and angered Trump, but he has also capitalized on it. The campaign claims to have raised over $7 million since.
Police say they're ready to respond to any situation ahead of Trump's arraignment, but Mayor Eric Adams is still warning people.
There may be some rabble-rousers thinking about coming to our city. Our message is clear and simple. Control yourselves.
A big manhunt is over for former Governor Larry Hogan's former chief of staff, Roy McGrath, who'd been on the run for weeks. WJZ's Jessica Albert.
The FBI raided his Florida home to find his wife, who told agents she didn't have any idea where her husband was. From then, the U.S. Marshals listed him as a fugitive and offered up a $20,000 reward for information leading to his arrest.
The FBI finally caught up to him in Knoxville last night, where he was shot and killed. The Biden administration says it's working to get Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich released from Russia. Here's CBS's Holly Williams.
Piotr Sauer is a close friend of Gershkovich and a fellow journalist.
Is it possible that he's essentially being used as a hostage by the Russian government?
Yeah, this is, just hostage taking. We don't know why they're doing it at this point, but we know that the spy charges are completely absurd.
The U.S. says it's working on getting Marine vet Paul Whelan home, too. He's also being held there on spying charges. At least one person is dead and 19 others injured after a train crash in the Netherlands.
The passenger train with about 50 people collided with a construction crane and derailed in the village of Voorschoten. Local media are reporting that the small crane was on the track. Rescuers and medics are working at the scene, while an emergency hospital was set up in a nearby city to treat dozens of victims, including the train driver. Officials are investigating what happened in what the prime minister has called a dreadful train crash. Lauren Comito for CBS News, The Hague.
Celebrations turned to chaos last night on UConn's campus. Police there say fans flipped cars, broke into a campus building, and even started a fire after the Huskies' big win over San Diego State. They won it 76-59 for the school's fifth men's basketball title. This is CBS News.
Streamline how you hire with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/...
And now, a special message from Charlie Behrens of the Cripes Cast.
How in the heck are you? It's me, Charlie, here to remind you that on April 4th, there's a huge election going on in Wisconsin. It's for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Now, it's a divided court, so the winner of this election is going to help determine the future of Wisconsin. Be part of that decision. Go to myvote.wi.gov to figure out your polling location and also what ID to bring. Again, myvote.wi.gov. And watch for deer.
Everyone deserves freedom over their own body. Everyone deserves the right to choose. Everyone deserves access to quality, affordable health care without judgment. And everyone deserves a health care provider who stands firm on these beliefs. This is the Planned Parenthood experience at any one of our 22 health centers across Wisconsin that offer reproductive health care services for everyone. Book your appointment today at ppwi.org. That's ppwi.org, and get the care you deserve, because we will provide that care no matter what.
Todos merecen la libertad sobre su propio cuerpo. Todo el mundo merece el derecho a elegir. Todos merecen acceso a una atención médica económica y de calidad sin juicios. Y todos merecen un proveedor de atención médica que se mantenga firme en estas creencias. Esta es la experiencia de Planned Parenthood en cualquiera de nuestros 22 centros de salud en Wisconsin, que ofrecen servicios de salud reproductiva para todos. Haz una cita hoy en ppwi.org y obtenga la atención que se merece, porque nosotros le brindaremos esa atención, pase lo que pase.
Hey, Wisconsin, the spring election is April 4th. Make sure you're prepared with an ID to vote. If you have a Wisconsin driver's license or state ID, military ID, U.S. passport, VA card, or Wisconsin tribal ID, you're all set. If not, you've got options. For free help getting an ID to vote, call or text Vote Riders at 866-ID-2-VOTE. That's 866-ID, the number 2-VOTE. Call or text today, 866-ID-2-VOTE.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
I love this song.
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to independent programming that has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. To learn more and to see our entire broadcast lineup, go to civicmedia.us.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense for this Tuesday, April 4th. It's another beautiful election day on Lake Wissota as we get deeper into spring and 60-degree temperatures aren't that far away. We're going to get there Easter weekend coming up. But, of course, first, we have the whole business of people voting all across Wisconsin today. The polls open up in 1 hour, and we have a couple of very special guests to help encourage people to go vote. We are going to talk to Wisconsin's new Secretary of State. Sarah Godlewski is going to be here, and also Mandela Barnes, the former Lieutenant Governor. Both will be here during our 7 o'clock hour. Sarah Godlewski at about 7:05, Mandela Barnes at 7:30, and it is all about encouraging folks to get out and vote, which I know if you're a regular listener to this program, you're thinking, wait, I'm voting. Everybody listens to this program votes because it's important. It's a big deal. We're listening to a radio show, a podcast based in Wisconsin news and politics and current events, and yet I say nay, nay. The numbers show, even if we get record turnout, it's going to be somewhere in the mid-30s. Basically, 2 out of 3 voters who could vote today won't vote today. It's a mystery to me. It's a mystery, I think, to a lot of you. But still, it's something that needs to change. And so whatever we can do to encourage a few more people out there, especially given that this is going to be such a very close election for state Supreme Court, between Milwaukee County Judge Janet Protasiewicz and former conservative Justice Dan Kelly, anything that can be done to boost that voter turnout is going to be a good thing, because it's not only that race, but also some very important school referendums and other matters that are on the ballot today. So we have special guests today to help us do that. Aaron Zommers is down in our Madison studio. He will take your calls if you have anything you want to talk about today at 844-967-2789, 715-388-7155. And the email address is radio at upnorthnewswi.com. Mr. Zommers, are you ready for the maelstrom that lies ahead of us?
Well, as ready as I'll ever be.
That's the spirit. Now, tomorrow morning about this time, you know, it's going to be one of two things. Either we will have a declared winner in the race and we'll be talking about what happened, or, you know, you and I will still be updating the numbers as they come in, because if it's still close, you know, 24 hours from now, it means we're waiting on some precincts that had problems counting their votes and taking each one in. So I guess we kind of have to be ready for anything, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Hopefully it doesn't come to that, though.
No, I would hope not. But again, we have seen Supreme Court races in the past. There was the one in 2011, I should say, when conservative David Prosser held on to his seat. But it was because in crucial Waukesha County in Brookfield, the clerk found a bunch of votes for Prosser that hadn't been tabulated when they were supposed to be. And so everybody thought the race was going to Joanne Kloppenburg, and then it didn't. And then, of course, there was the race in 2019 that we've talked about several times, where folks assumed that Lisa Neubauer was going to win that race based on polling and indications. And instead, Brian Hagedorn won in a close race. And so, again, any election day, every vote matters, every vote counts. And in a contest like this, with voter turnout low, as our friend Joe Zepecki likes to say, that means the power of your vote is magnified, not diluted, magnified. Every extra person that you can bring to the polls, you send them a text and say, hey, I'm going to go vote after lunch. Do you want to come with me? Whatever the case may be, only helps democracy in Wisconsin. So we'll talk about that with our guests a little later on as well. Quick update on sports, because the Brewers had their home opener. I was going to go to it, then decided I just couldn't get to it because of all the work that needed to be done, getting ready for the election. Aaron, I might have chosen wrong. That was a great game.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
10-0. Would have been great to be there when the rookie Bryce Terang hit a grand slam for his first major league home run. Did you see the highlights? Did you see his mom and dad cheering in the stands?
I did not see that, no.
So, no, I mean, the mom was just jumping up and down, jumping up and down, jumping up and down. She was so happy watching her son hit his first major league home run. And I'm sure it was just electric there at American Family Field. Brian Anderson homered. Freddie Peralta pitched six innings of two-hit ball. The Brewers have now won three in a row. Peralta struck out seven, allowed only three walks. The Mets, meanwhile, compiled more pitch clock violations, four of them, than hits. Only three of those. So the Brewers had a great home opener. Now they try to continue it this evening in game two of the series. They will not have an easy time of it, as they will be facing Max Scherzer, the already instant Hall of Fame legend pitcher who's now pitching for the Mets. Wade Miley will be on the mound for the Brewers. The two teams will play tomorrow afternoon, Wednesday afternoon. Then they will be off on Thursday, the Brewers. They stay at home because the Cardinals come to town. They will be playing St. Louis for a three-game weekend series. The Bucks, meanwhile, tonight play at Washington. They're in the final four games of the regular season. Tonight at Washington, tomorrow at home against the Bulls, Friday at home against the Memphis Grizzlies, then Sunday at Toronto, and that ends the regular season, and then off we go to the NBA playoffs. And in the NCAA men's basketball tournament last night, University of Connecticut was the big winner there. So let's take a break. You can get our daily newsletter, by the way, if you go to upnorthnewswi.com, click newsletter in the top banner, get all of the work that we're doing here at Up North News, and we'll talk more about the election and the Donald Trump indictment coming up in just a bit. You're up north.
The spring election is Tuesday, April 4th. It's being called one of the most important in the country, with candidates for one state Supreme Court seat on the ballot.
Vote. Then tune to your local civic media radio station for coverage you won't find anywhere else.
It kicks off at 7 p.m. with a special As Goes Wisconsin.
Then at 8, news director Terry Bell has results with reporters checking in from around the state.
Election coverage live Tuesday, April 4th, starting at 7 on your local civic media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
RV High is now in session. Today's subjects, biology.
Name an animal with a long neck.
Dinosaur, long neck, yeah.
Let me ask you something, when last time you seen one?
Anatomy.
Name a part of Steve Harvey that a woman might want to kiss.
Your six pack.
The six pack, does she know who Steve Harvey is? You got to dig for it, but it's in there.
Get school with Family Feud.
Weeknights at 6 and 6:30 on CW18.
What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Isolated thunderstorms likely today, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 47, easterly winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Isolated thunderstorms again tonight. Lows level off around 47. Cloudy skies expected. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 67. Mainly sunny skies and calm. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Anybody here seen my old friend Martin? Can you tell me where he's gone?
That's Dion singing about what was indeed a dark day in U.S. history on this, the 55th anniversary of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King. We're going to have more to say about that in just a moment. But first, a reminder that we take your calls and you can answer our call of the day. What's your main reason for voting today? What motivates you? You can either call us at 844-967-2789, or if you are watching this on Facebook, where we do the live feed on the Up North News Facebook page, the Civic Media Facebook page, and the Bull Falls Radio Facebook page, leave a comment there under the post with our live feed, and we might show your comment as part of the video feed that we do of this show. We'd love to have your input on this Tuesday. All right, so in talking about the indictment of President Trump, the former president is going to be arraigned today, approximately 1 o'clock our time in New York City. He flew back there yesterday from Florida. Of course, there was breathless cable news coverage. I didn't watch a minute of it, and I'm better for it. It really does seem like the news media has learned nothing from 2016. That covering somebody for the sake of their celebrity rather than the substance of a campaign or a potential crime, well, that only leads to coverage that, you know, glorifies the things that are done wrong. It glorifies, it spreads lies in real time, and it normalizes the bad behavior that has led us to this point, to the point where even 60 Minutes this past weekend did a rather almost glowing report on Marjorie Taylor Greene and just getting to know her. And is she misunderstood or whatever the case may be? I mean, I don't know that I've seen a journalist of the caliber of Leslie Stahl throw away a lifetime of credibility so quickly. I think second on that list now would be the way Andrea Mitchell of NBC conducted herself over Hillary Clinton's emails, treating them as if she were, I don't know, hoarding classified documents to potentially, you know, sell the information to adversaries. But that gets us back to Donald Trump, who is facing this indictment now for a crime that I believe was likely committed before he became president. He has a record of committing crimes as president, but was protected from impeachment by Republicans in Congress, and has probably committed crimes after his time in the White House with the classified documents that he has at Mar-a-Lago. And I don't know if you've seen the clip from Sean Hannity's show on Fox. Again, not something I would watch, but the clip is delicious. It is Sean Hannity interviewing Trump, trying to help him, trying to coach him to make sure he denies what's being reported, that even after there was a request for the records to be returned, that he personally tried to cherry pick certain documents to basically not return, to basically hide from authorities, to basically obstruct justice. Hannity's trying to get him to say, yes, he would not do that. He says in so many words, you wouldn't do something like that. And Trump says, well, yeah, I have every right to. And you can just see Hannity going, please help me less, you know, help me help you. But those are things Trump is still going to face the music for, including trying to overturn an election, incite an armed insurrection, trying to basically rig the vote in the state of Georgia. He came this close to getting the Wisconsin Supreme Court to overturn the will of the voters in 2020. Three of the four conservative justices sounded very sympathetic to the idea. Only conservative Justice Brian Hagedorn stuck to the letter of the law and did not go along with it. But how will that be different if Dan Kelly is on the state Supreme Court in 2024 and there is again unfounded accusations of voting irregularities? What will the Wisconsin Supreme Court do then? Will they throw the nation into chaos? Because that's what almost happened in 2020. And that is part of the reason why so much national attention is on this Wisconsin Supreme Court race, is that it has implications for an entire nation, all because of what the former president has done before, during, and after his time in office. And yet people are telling us it's a dark day in history. Today's a dark day for a former president to be indicted for a crime. No, no, a dark day is what happened 55 years ago today when Dr. King was shot and killed on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel in Memphis as he came to march with sanitation workers who were trying to get better working conditions and better pay. He remains, of course, a titan in nonviolent protest and trying to bring about change. But let's also remember that that struggle was far from over when he was cut down. It still continues to this day. Dr. King was not lionized. Dr. King was, in public opinion polls at the time, had a negative approval rating. And doesn't that just sound so trite? Doesn't it sound so, stupid, you know, in hindsight, when we talk about negative approval rating for what somebody was trying to do to help our country overcome the darker sides of its history. And yet he has always faced, even in death, the work that he has done has faced opposition from people who would essentially rather shoot first and ask questions later. And specifically in this case, I'm talking about Donald Trump. When I looked at how Tuesday's calendar was going to feature his indictment, and I saw that Tuesday, today is also the 55th anniversary of Dr. King's assassination, I thought back to what Donald Trump did in 1989 for the so-called Central Park Five. Those were five young men who were put on trial and later imprisoned for their role being accused of the brutal rape of a jogger in New York City. They were later exonerated as the as police eventually found or led that another person committed this heinous crime, but those other five men were somewhere else in Central Park at the time. They were arrested. They were charged. As they were arrested and charged, again, innocent till proven guilty, Donald Trump placed a full-page ad in four newspapers in New York City calling for the state to adopt the death penalty. In huge letters, it says, bring back the death penalty, bring back our police. And then there's some text about the jogger being raped in Central Park. And then down at the bottom is that goofball signature of Trump's that he puts at the bottom of everything. Imagine, to me, that's a dark day. A dark day is when a millionaire real estate developer can essentially publicly convict people based on his ability to afford a full-page ad in the New York Times and in other newspapers. I just don't even know that Donald Trump believes that white men can actually be truthfully accused of rape. I mean, he believes Mexicans are rapists, he tells us. He wanted to bring back the death penalty for Black and Latino rape defendants who were later exonerated. If we're going to talk about dark days in history, it's not Donald Trump facing justice for making illegal business records about paying off a woman with whom he was having an affair. That's not a dark day. That's a white collar crime. Now, we haven't seen the indictment yet. We'll see it this afternoon. What are the misdemeanors? What are the felonies? Why are they felonies? Are they that serious? But let's not describe this as a dark day. It will only be a dark day if the people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and others coming to New York today raise a ruckus. And they're not afraid to. They're empowered. They're empowered by what they did, by what they saw, or in Greene's case, what they encouraged on January 6th. And they got away with it. They've gotten away with it so far. Yes, there have been hundreds of arrests, but the ringleaders of this, going up to the very top, have not faced any consequences whatsoever. In fact, one of them is running for president again and is the leader in polling. And so why wouldn't they feel like they could make threats of trouble or actually make trouble today? That's what would make this a dark day, is if the rule of law isn't allowed to work its way through the court system. Now, for all that focus on a former president traveling yesterday, could we please note that an actual president also traveled yesterday and talked about the actual investments being made in jobs? President Biden was in Minnesota yesterday. He toured a manufacturing facility for Cummins in Fridley after the company announced a $1 billion investment tied to Biden's set of policies that are aimed at boosting manufacturing in the U.S. with a focus on clean energy, but obviously all manufacturing overall, but with a look at the real potential for clean energy. And not just for those people who think that climate change is real, those who know that climate change is real. There are plenty of people who are either on the fence about climate change or don't believe that it's real, but they still understand that clean energy is better than dirty energy and that manufacturing jobs in the U.S. are better than manufacturing jobs outside the U.S. And so the president came to Minnesota to talk about those policies, to talk about what Cummins is doing. They're going to be building something called electrolyzers, which are needed to create clean hydrogen, which is used to power certain vehicles, and it's used in steel production. And that's all fine and good, but I'm sorry, every time I hear electrolyzers, I'm thinking electrolytes, and I'm thinking Idiocracy. Electrolytes, it's what plants crave. But no, these are electrolyzers. Biden said that companies have committed to invest more than $2 billion in Minnesota since Biden's inauguration. This is where the real work is getting done. And how many times have I said it? Real work is boring. Real work is not sexy, but real work gets the job done. There are other people who are not workhorses. They are show ponies. They love the show. They love to bray and nag and what have you. And we all know the politicians like that, who are all about showing off and making noise and making trouble because it gets them attention, as opposed to quietly going through the work. Again, like the comparison between Governor Tony Evers' budget proposal versus the paper-thin proposal by legislative Republicans. But for people like Trump and others, I would simply ask, is it infrastructure week yet? Have we seen Donald Trump's infrastructure plan yet? Have we seen his healthcare plan yet? No, we haven't, because that would take work. And some folks aren't interested in doing the work. They're interested in the show. And Donald Trump is going to enjoy the show today. We'll be back with more after this break. You're up north.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Former President Trump said to be arraigned on criminal charges this afternoon in New York. CBS's Jared Hill has a preview.
The indictment is still sealed, though sources tell CBS News Trump will likely be charged with falsifying business records in the first degree, a felony.
Trump's not expected to be handcuffed during his arraignment and may not even have to take a mugshot. A high-profile Maryland fugitive is dead after the FBI tracked him down in Tennessee. WJZ's Jessica Albert has details.
This all started 3 weeks ago. Back on March 13th, the ex-chief of staff for former Governor Larry Hogan was due in court here in Baltimore for a federal fraud trial, but he never showed up.
Roy McGrath had been accused of embezzlement. Finland is finally joining NATO today, but reaction from residents in Helsinki is mixed.
In some ways, I think it would make Finland a safer place, but then again, we don't know what Russia will do.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Buck Tussle is proud to be the major sponsor on Civic Media for the biggest spring election being followed all over America. Buck Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you. Call today, 877-227-0924.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.com.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
So of all the people that are making comparisons about what Donald Trump is doing and whether it's a crime, does it rise to a certain level? Because so much happens in the American news cycle, I always appreciate when people can come back and refresh our memories and find similarities that we may have forgotten about. And so John Legum, who writes a blog and a newsletter known as Popular Information, reminds us that when right-wing pundits are saying that Trump's indictment is petty political vengeance, a travesty, it's a sham, He reminds us that a Democrat did this same thing. Remember John Edwards? On June 3rd, 2011, he reminds us, John Edwards was criminally indicted on charges similar to those Trump now faces. Edwards was charged with violating campaign finance laws for funneling large sums of money to hide an affair and then falsifying the records to cover it up. What did Sean Hannity say back then? The facts are that he broke campaign finance laws and that he lied to cover it up. And from the outset, the Edwards investigation was featured on Fox throughout, with Hannity expressing no objection to John Edwards being prosecuted. There were regular guests who came on and said he should go to jail. Of course, he should be indicted. But then when it was Trump who was facing indictment for paying $130,000 in hush money and falsifying the business records to cover his tracks, Hannity then called it repulsive and a disgusting political hit job. Remember Megyn Kelly? She tweeted recently that Alvin Bragg, the Manhattan DA bringing the charges against Trump, should be ashamed of himself for indicting Trump. But in numerous appearances on the O'Reilly Factor during the Edwards investigation, Megyn Kelly did not suggest any impropriety by prosecutors. And on it goes with Judd listing off all the various things that people on Fox said about John Edwards then versus what they're saying about Trump now. And it again underscores this. There were no riots or threats of riots when John Edwards was charged, because so many of his Democratic supporters stopped being Democratic supporters around that time, because Democratic supporters aren't big on crime and they're not going to go to the mat for somebody who has committed crimes. If somebody commits a crime, and let's bring this back to Hunter Biden. If Hunter Biden committed a crime, he should be charged and he should pay whatever consequences there are. But if there isn't anything, if there's been nothing but rumors and allegations, then stand down. You know, show us what you got. But again, we're talking about dealing in the real world, real crimes versus what's perceived, and calling things as they are, not what you want them to be. It takes us to our next example of Republican wishful thinking lately, and that's a new plan by Congressman Dan Crenshaw. Remember the guy with the eye patch? He has a new plan to deter school shootings. It has nothing to do with the plague of automatic weapons in this country. His solution is to have at least two armed guards at every school in the country. It doesn't sound very well thought out. It really sounds almost like something he made up on the spot when he was talking to Dana Bash on CNN over the weekend. And as the responses started to come in, they noted, for example, there are more than 130,000 schools in the U.S. That would mean we have to find 260,000 new armed guards. How are you going to pay them? How much are you going to pay for the ongoing firearms and tactical training that's involved? And look, let's just take a low salary figure, $40,000 a year for these armed guards. Putting two armed guards at 130,000 schools at $40,000 for the salary alone would cost $10.5 billion. And that, again, doesn't include the training and things like that. And speaking of training for firearms, takes us to our next example of Republican wishful thinking. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has signed a bill that removes any training for concealed weapons. Concealed carry is now allowed in the state of Florida without a permit. In Florida, the site of the Parkland school shooting, where 14 children and three staff lay dead in the bloody hallways, and where at the Pulse nightclub, 49 people were massacred. And yet Ron DeSantis, the man who wants to out-Trump Trump, not only gave the loved ones of these victims a big middle finger yesterday, He signed a bill that essentially, in my mind, and I think for a lot of you, is not just a bill. He signed a death warrant for more Floridians, for more children, probably more cops. Because taking away the safety training that used to come with a concealed carry permit and embracing a Wild West mentality, that's not going to solve this problem. But Ron DeSantis and others don't want to solve this problem. He and others like him are perfectly fine standing shoulder to shoulder with mass murderers of our children today. And for one reason alone, it feels powerful to punch down, which is nothing more than a bully at any rate, at any level. Sometimes punching down is done with a fist. Sometimes it's done with bullets. And sometimes it's done with laws that politicians, that gutless politicians pass and gutless governors sign. Now, the way to fix this is not with more bullets, but with more ballots. That's the only way this gets fixed, is for more people to show up in elections and vote, which, of course, takes me back to where we are in the here and now, election day here in Wisconsin, where the polls are going to be opening in 20 minutes, and they will be open until 8 o'clock. Looking at some of the final news stories going into election day, you had Dan Bice of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel noting yesterday that in the final days of campaigning, there was one candidate flying from city to city across Wisconsin, and that would be conservative former Justice Dan Kelly. He was on a seven-city trip across Wisconsin from Waukesha to Hudson using a private jet apparently owned by the family of anti-abortion rights advocates. Meanwhile, Milwaukee County Judge Janet Protasiewicz has been laid low because of illness, and so has not been traveling as much and has not been doing so on a private jet. But Kelly, who served on the court, you know, from 2016 to 2020, he was appointed by Scott Walker. He did not win a full term in 2020. He lost to Jill Karofsky. And so he has been traveling all across the state, and he has been flying on a plane, a Cessna, that according to Bice appears to be owned by Paul and Elizabeth Kepler of Economowoc, who the Kelly campaign describes as supporters. There was also a pastor in Eau Claire, the Reverend Landon Huey, who mentioned Kelly's plane at a Sunday church service where Dan Kelly spoke, saying, "I know you've got to get out of here to jump on a plane and head to another event, but I just pray that you're okay." The Keplers are in part of the family of Bellmark, Bice writes, a Green Bay area packaging company. The wife, Elizabeth Kepler's husband, has been a longtime board member of Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. And they are all officers of the Easter Foundation that has made grants to Pregnancy Resource Center of Southwest Florida, a foundation that has given to other anti-abortion rights groups around the state. And of course, Dan Kelly has written extensively in the past about his opposition to abortion rights. And so his continued criticism of Judge Janet Protasiewicz for stating her support for women's abortion rights, well, that criticism has largely fallen on deaf ears. And I believe that's the case with a lot of voters, that they understand where he stands, even if he's not as explicit now as he was then. But again, rather than talk about the issues, you find that Kelly and a lot of his supporters are speaking more in terms of conflict. There's a story in WisconsinLawJournal.com about a Kelly event in which his supporters talk about how, quote, "We are at war with Democrats and news media and federal government control." And the reporter goes on to talk about covering an event in Wisconsin Dells, I believe, and being told at some point that he could no longer take photos or recordings of the event. You had, let's see, we had Brian Schimming, the Wisconsin State Party chair, showing off his conceal and carry card, because that was a focus of his remarks. Speaker Andrew Doxey, a Racine Republican official, was the one who said Republicans, quote, are at war with Democrats. And he said, we need volunteers to help us fight this war. There was Congressman Brian Stile, who, again, is demonstrating a continued fixation of Republicans on Nancy Pelosi, who hasn't been speaker for months now, but who invoked her no longer being speaker as part of his remarks. There was criticism of the indictment against Donald Trump in there. And again, it was much less about the issues. It was more about the conflict and stoking up this sense of conflict rather than framing them as political disagreements where the voters make choices, under fair circumstances, using fair maps, using campaigns that aren't necessarily underwritten by billionaires, who also provide untold millions in in-kind contributions, including the use of a private jet to get all around the state. If we're going to get anywhere toward a more boring set of politics in the state, these are the kinds of things we have to fix. And I have said for many, many years now, we need politics to be more boring. We don't want all of this attention. Most voters don't want this attention. Most of the people that I overheard over the weekend, whether I'm in bars, restaurants, you know, grocery stores, wherever, cannot wait until this is over. I guess I understand it because this is what I do for a living and cover it. I'm more than happy to follow it because I know it has a finite endpoint. You know, the endpoint is 8 o'clock tonight when the polls close and then we move on. The next truly big elections in Wisconsin won't be until the fall of 2024. We're about to go through a long period without elections, which is fine because we've had a long period with elections that seem to come at you rapid fire. We're going to be going on a break, as you might say, from these kinds of electoral politics. But we've got to get through this one more race. And it is in this one more race that I would want to remind people of the stakes, of what we're dealing with here, and of what can be done in this state if there is a change made in our Wisconsin Supreme Court. But to focus on that change, I think we first have to talk about what has this Supreme Court done in the 15 years since conservatives took control of it, when a fellow named Michael Gableman, yeah, that Michael Gableman, unseated progressive black Justice Lewis Butler, using what had been at that point the most racist campaign ads ever seen in Wisconsin, to be topped only by Ron Johnson in this past year. And we will talk more about what this court has done in just a bit. We're going to take a break. We're going to do a little music break, do a little history lesson, and then wrap up this hour talking about this very important election day in Wisconsin. Coming up next, you're up north.
Civic Media promised you something big to celebrate our new and still growing network of radio stations. When we announced the one-day $1 million advertising giveaway for Wisconsin businesses, you responded.
Just wanted to echo your sentiments about the advertising. That's really a cool deal and really remarkable.
$1 million of free advertising. Now, if you missed this chance to work with our team, go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. One of our local sales pros will get right back to you. Civicmedia.us and sponsorship.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article in the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. Self-monitoring is power. Visit managerbp.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
Weather brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese and Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop.
Home of buttery popcorn treats that make your mouth water.
Caramel, cookies and cream, strawberry shortcake, and more. civicmedia.us/shop.
Part of the proceeds benefit Wisconsin athletic programs.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast skies today with isolated thunderstorms likely. Daytime highs approaching 47. Winds out of the east 10 to 20 miles an hour. Isolated thunderstorms likely tonight. Lows dip down to about 47. Cloudy skies expected. Mainly sunny skies and calm tomorrow. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Daytime highs approaching 67. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk, from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Can't buy me love, love, can't buy me love. Buy you love.
Well, here we go with this day in history, and this is a noteworthy one from the standpoint of the music charts. It was on this day in 1964 that the Beatles held all five spots in the Billboard Hot 100, and Can't Buy Me Love was the number one song on this day in 1964. Twist and Shout was at number two. She Loves You was at number three. I Want to Hold Your Hand was number four. And Please Please Me was number five. Now, again, this is a feat that has been matched by, oh, help me, Aaron. It was Taylor Swift, and it was one other person has held like five or ten spots on the charts.
Off the top of my head, I don't remember.
I could have sworn there was. I think there's one other. We'll have to look that up. I should have found that before putting my notes in today. But the Beatles did it first, and they did it the old-fashioned way, going to the record store and buying the records. Speaking of records, Aaron, do you have any vinyl whatsoever?
I do. I've got, I don't know exactly how many. I probably have around 20, 25 records.
Do you have a record player?
I do. I'm not just collecting the records, though. No. I use them.
It's like, I've got this great vinyl. Great. Do you listen to it? No, I have no idea how to do that. All right. Birthdays today. Anthony Perkins was born on this day in 1932, died in 1992, best known for his performance as Norman Bates in Psycho. Music mogul Clive Davis, the record producer and founder of Arista Records, was born this day in 1932, which would make him 91 years old today. Clive Davis. A few people, the word mogul, nobody gets the word mogul in front of their name unless, you know, you do just a truckload of stuff. Clive Davis deserves the title mogul. And happy birthday to him. Actor, comedian David Cross is 59 today. You noted him today being born on this day in 1964, Aaron. So I assume you're a bit of a David Cross fan.
I wouldn't say a huge fan or anything, but I know I've seen him in a lot of movies. The only one, for some reason, it is by no means the best one, but the only one I can think of off the top of my head is Alvin and the Chipmunks.
And probably known for other things too, but that's fair. That's fair. You know, Robert Downey Jr., he's probably known for some other things, you know, besides Iron Man, but everybody has their favorite. Robert Downey Jr. is 58 years old today. This was the anniversary of the birth of Australian actor Heath Ledger, born on this day in 1979, before passing away far too young in 2008. It was on this day in 1963 that the movie Bye Bye Birdie was released. It was a film adaptation of a Broadway play, and one of my favorite songs, and it becomes everybody's favorite song when they reach a certain age, is when they sing about those darn kids. Here's Paul Lynn.
Kids, I don't know what's wrong with these kids today. Kids, who can understand anything they say? Kids, they are disobedient, disrespectful oafs. Noisy, true, crazy, sloppy, lazy loafers. While we're on the subject, kids, you can talk and talk till your face is blue. Kids, but they still do just what they want to do.
Bring it home,
why
Paul.
Can't they be like we were, perfect in every way?
What's the matter with kids today?
I don't know. I think maybe it's your 40th birthday. You start to learn that song and you look at people younger. Anyway, Bye Bye Birdie it had quite the cast. Janet Leigh, Dick Van Dyke, Maureen Stapleton, Bobby Rydell, Ed Sullivan as himself, and Anne Margaret in the movie that launched her into sex symbol stardom. Now, we did mention, of course, the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King this day in 1968. The Twin Towers of the World Trade Center were officially dedicated on this day in 1973. The Space Shuttle Challenger made its maiden voyage into space on this day in 1983. And this is the birthday of Microsoft. It was founded by Bill Gates and Paul Allen on this day in 1975. And one more music stop, Styx topped the album chart with Paradise Theater on this day in 1981. Singles included Too Much Time on My Hands and Rockin' the Paradise. Number one on this day in 1987 was Starship's Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now. It was being used in the movie Mannequin. And yeah, a lot of people think that Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now for some reason has the title of worst number one song of all time, or worst song ever released, however they called it. But again, we should put together the full list. I'll put Sister Christian from Night Ranger on there first, and then we can just kind of build the list from there. One of these days, we'll just start taking calls and comments on what were the worst songs to like be in the top 10 of all time.
I feel like We Built This City is also on there.
Yes, We Built This City is definitely on there too. This day in 2015, Kendrick Lamar's critically acclaimed album, To Pimp a Butterfly, also hit number one on the album charts. So that's a look at the music and history.
And one other note with that, yes, sir. I did look up the other people to hold the top spots on the Billboard. Ariana Grande had the top five as well all at once. And Taylor Swift was the first to have all 10, not just the top five.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right. Hope you enjoyed that break. Now we get to get back to the thing that is truly the big news for the day. And that's election day and going to vote, because the polls open just 3.5 minutes from now. And the last thing I'll say about election day for this hour is coming back to the start of Up North News. You know, we started Up North News 3 years ago with the theme, America is looking up north for news about the 2020 election. And sure enough, Wisconsin was a linchpin back then, and it could be again today. The conservative justices who have weaponized our state's highest court for these past 15 years have shown a willingness to second guess the will of the voters, as they did right after the 2020 election. These are the same jurists who supported gerrymandered maps written by their fellow conservatives in the legislature. They have upheld legislative interference with a governor's power to veto bills and to make appointments. And they banned drop boxes for voters, despite a solid record of safe and secure and legal use. And of course, let's get into a woman's right to control her own healthcare decisions. This court has not heard the case about the 1849 abortion ban, but is sure to come before the court in the coming year with whichever candidate wins today's election. So it's no wonder that America is looking up north again for news. The stakes are high, and yet nearly two-thirds of voters are likely to stay home, and that's after a record amount of money, tens of millions of dollars in ads that are designed to motivate voters. So at this point, all we can really say is that there's increased value for every voter who does decide to cast a ballot today. Use that power. Make a difference, go vote, and take a friend as well. Coming up next in just a couple of minutes, Wisconsin's new Secretary of State, Sarah Godlewski, will join us as the polls open and talk about her new gig. And then at the bottom of the next hour, we will talk to former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, who also has a very simple message for everybody today. The polls are about to open. Get out there and vote. We'll be back. You're up north.
Don't you deserve a job you love? Civic Media is preserving hometown radio, broadcasting from main streets across Wisconsin, and we're hiring radio advertising sales professionals to join our rapidly growing network of local radio stations. If you have a connection to your community, prior sales experience, and want to earn an outstanding living where you and your hard work is appreciated, you should apply right now. Find more information on our website, civicmedia.us. Click on the Careers tab.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.